Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Q Myers. Evan Cohen in for Greeny, who is going to join us in just a couple of minutes as we are live from Detroit. NFL draft tonight. We are at ESPN Bet, Greektown. Q, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm trying to get used to this big stage and everything that I'm on. I'm trying to get my headset right. I'm trying to get in like you fit in every day.
You think I'm fitting in?
Oh, you're the man. You're the man. Hey, look, man, I got excited. I got up early this morning. I got that extra energy as soon as I found out I was going to be part of the show with you.
Well, I am excited today as well to work with you, to learn about your internet issues that you've had not only here, but somehow at your Airbnb, you don't know how to stream television, which I have to find out. Because I always thought you were this young, up-and-coming guy. I didn't know you were 100 years old.
I didn't even have electricity yesterday. I didn't even have electricity. I tried to do a three-hour show with no power. Think about that.
How is that even possible?
Exactly. And I made it work, though. So the show still happened. I just had no power. And the whole city had no power. Figure that. The whole city. And, you know, look, I love, so far I've been in Detroit since Sunday, right? Actually, I'm staying in Westland, which is about 25 minutes from here. So I've been here, and it's been great. And I went to a restaurant. I'm always that guy that I find one spot and I stick with it because I really like it. So that's what I did. And yesterday when the power went out, I thought somebody was like, oh, this guy's from out of town. We're going to show him. We're going to welcome him to town. So I got a little, you know, once the power went out, I got a little kind of, I felt like not a radio guy anymore. And I thought I had to defend the place that I was in. And so I'm standing up in the Airbnb and I'm looking around waiting for somebody to come in and welcome me to town. And come to find out the whole city had no power.
Again, you still don't know how to set up streaming. You can deviate off of the main thing. You can sit there.
Is the main thing.
I got a leak. Your normal co-host, yeah. Emmett Golden, at night.
I know. Emmett
threw out to me, he's like, you know, Q doesn't know what he's doing technically and technologically.
I don't. Like, I DoorDash for the first time the other night.
Oh, yeah. This is
first
the other
time
thing he told
ever.
Me. And you didn't even know it was a thing, did you?
No, I knew it was a thing. I just have never done it. I never have done it. I literally have put the DoorDash app on my phone finally for the first time ever.
All right. We have a lot more to get to with all of this because old man Q is here all of a sudden. Who knew? I'm pumped up as a Heat fan. Great win for my squad last night over the Boston Celtics, which was great in that win. But, of course, it is draft day. We are going to have all the coverage here on ESPN Radio. You have been here all week doing your show game night as well as everything for ESPN Radio in Las Vegas. You work with the Raiders on a daily basis. That is a fascinating team to keep an eye on. But people are hating me. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. Canty just told me off about this on our show on Sportsman. Like, I think tonight has a chance to be a little bit more chalky than I thought it was going to be in the months leading up to this draft.
That's the feeling I'm getting to. And I hate that because we want the chaos, right? We want the chaos. We've been talking about this team could trade to number two. This team could trade to number three. Maybe this former coach of this young man is going to go and go get him because he's the best quarterback ever. And then all of a sudden it's going to go Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals. You know what I mean? It's just going to go bop, 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 like it's supposed to do. And hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully there are some fireworks in there at some point, but I understand where you're coming from.
Well, because if you think about it, we know what's going to happen at one, right? We're fully aware of what's going to happen at one. Caleb Williams is going to go number one overall to the Chicago Bears. Number two, everyone has been saying Jaden Daniels number two to the Washington Commanders, even though Canty threw out with us this morning the idea maybe they could still trade that pick. I get it. I don't see it happening. I also think that if Drake May is sitting there for New England at three, despite all of the idea of them potentially trading down and trade back up to ultimately get J.J. McCarthy and stockpile a pick for next year, I just don't see it.
Right.
And I think when push comes to shove, Arizona at four is going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., which means you could say the draft starts at five with the Chargers. I don't think Harbaugh is going to care about anyone else and what they think. If he wants to take a lineman, he takes a lineman.
Right.
I also think he could potentially trade down multiple times. That would not surprise me. So I don't know, Q. I kind of look at this and say, I think we know what's going to happen 1 through 5 here.
I feel like we do as well. Yeah, I feel like we do as well. We have a great idea, but there's always that little chance. And so as long as you have a little bit of a chance, you're going to be locked in. It's the best reality show ever. The NFL draft, every fan base. Look, I'm like you said, I cover the Raiders like a glove. I was able to talk to Jaden Daniels yesterday. Everyone has told me, you have one job, Q. Get Jaden back to Vegas. That's the
okay,
one job.
So wait, go there. How does that happen? Or is that dead? Do you think that that storyline, Q Myers, is dead?
I think that there's a sliver of a chance, but it's on life support. Let's put it like that.
The sliver is interesting.
I think there's a sliver.
Walk me through what a sliver means in this.
A sliver means that Tom Telesco, the GM, is comfortable with giving up all the assets that it would take to go up there and get him. And Washington's also comfortable with moving out. And that is the hardest part, is getting them comfortable with moving out.
All right. Along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike in for Greeny today. Greeny, of course, is going to be on the draft coverage this evening, all throughout the ESPN family of networks, and he joins us now. Greeny, we've been discussing tonight, is it going to be more chalky or shocking tonight? Where are you sitting right now in terms of how you're looking at the draft this evening?
Depends on how you view the sliver. Here's the sliver, Q. The sliver is Washington absolutely dead set on Jaden Daniels or not? Because if the answer is no, then there isn't any question what he wants. There isn't any question what his family wants. There isn't any question what the Raiders want more than anything in the world. So I think if Washington has decided, one of my favorite movies is When Harry Met Sally. And when Billy Crystal says, once you've decided who it is you want to spend the rest of your life with, you want the rest of your life to begin as quickly as possible. If they've made that decision about Jaden Daniels, then there's nothing the Raiders or anyone else can do about it, including Jaden. But if they feel they can go forward with anyone else, then I think there is that sliver of a chance we get that shocker at number 2. I think it's much less likely. I think 3 is absolutely in play. I'm not even sure what would constitute chalk at this point. Are you, Evan, defining chalk as Drake May going 3 to New England?
I am, yes, exactly right. And then Marvin Harrison, 4.
I wouldn't bet on that. I wouldn't, and I'm not saying it isn't going to happen, but I'm saying I don't think it's anywhere near a certainty. And then Marvin Harrison going 4, I think is more certain than Drake May going 3. And then what happens at 5, I think, is a total mystery. I think the Giants, everything I'm hearing here is the Giants do want J.J. McCarthy. Can they get him at 6? All of a sudden yesterday, the mock drafts, and I saw everyone last night. I saw Matt Miller, and I saw Jordan Reed, and I saw Shefty, and I saw everybody down here in the hotel last night. And all of a sudden, there was this late swing that started pushing J.J. McCarthy further down the board. So as far as chalk, the first 2 picks, I think, are likely, yes. The 3rd pick, I think, is about a 50-50 proposition. And then once you get past 4, I think all bets are off.
Which one do you think will be the biggest storyline when you look at the quarterbacks? J.J. McCarthy, who you just mentioned, you know, this sounds like a little bit of a push where he may slide a little bit, or Michael Penix if he's going to end up being a first-round pick?
Oh, I think he's a lock to be a first-round pick. I don't think that if I were to put the over-under, there are, you know, 32 teams in the league. If I were to put the over-under on where he gets picked tonight at 16.5, I would definitely go under. He will go in the first half of the first round. I'll be shocked if he does not.
We're talking with Greeny here on Greeny on ESPN Radio, along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen in for Greeny, who's got the draft tonight, of course, on ESPN. Greeny, we talk about the idea of chalk, obviously, with 1, 2, and 3. It seems like J.J. McCarthy, most interesting player. New England Patriots, maybe most interesting team. Is that where you would go, most interesting player, most interesting team tonight?
Most interesting team, for sure, because they're the first – well, I mean, they're only – going back to the sliver conversation that we were having, if Washington is willing, if they're even remotely open-minded – and look, they can say all they want about how it was not a big deal that they brought all those quarterbacks in last Wednesday. There's no part of me that fully believes that. If that was them keeping their options open and trying to figure out, could I trade back to, I'm just making this up, 13, and still be very happy getting Michael Penix and then, you know, 3 other number ones or whatever else it is that it would cost the Raiders to get up there, if that's what they were doing, then the Commanders become the most interesting team. Assuming they take Jaden Daniels, and that probably is the safest bet, then yes, New England is the most interesting team for a million reasons. Do they want a quarterback? If they do they want one who's almost everyone suggests is not ready to play yet? That team, I think, feels so bad. They have so many needs. They're a team that if I were running them, I would seriously be thinking about trying to get a Herschel Walker-esque kind of treasure trove of picks in exchange for number three and building out a roster and figuring out the quarterback piece of it later. So, yes, I think the Patriots, once we get past two, if that does go Jaden Daniels, then absolutely the Patriots are the most interesting team.
Well, speaking of most interesting teams, Greeny, what about the Minnesota Vikings, who have the ammunition to do what they want to do with those two first-round picks, being number 11 and number 23, and obviously they have a need and a desire for a quarterback as well?
Yeah, look, they have a desperate need. And I don't mean that to diminish Sam Darnold, who I will always have a soft spot in my heart for because my Jets destroyed him. But he has been destroyed, and I think it's pretty clear he's not getting undestroyed. And that's a really good team. I mean, that's a team that if Kirk Cousins doesn't get hurt last year, they're in the playoffs. Yes, that's a fascinating team. I think they need a quarterback who's ready to play. Is J.J. McCarthy that guy now? If you listen to Jim Harbaugh, he is. So how does Minnesota get him? Do they have to move way up to get him? All of a sudden, I'm looking at mock drafts that have him lasting until 11, which, again, would surprise the heck out of me, but I've been surprised before. So, yes, Minnesota is a fascinating player in all of this, as is Denver, as are the Raiders. There are a lot of teams that desperately need quarterback, and I would put the Giants in that mix as well. I think the Giants are a team that needs to take a quarterback if there's one they love. The way J.J. McCarthy has been talking, what he said on Rich Eisen yesterday, what he said on Unsportsmanlike yesterday, he sounds like someone who thinks he's being drafted by the Giants. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Greeny, is there a team that you're looking at tonight that you would say, when we come in tomorrow, they could have blown up the draft and done something we did not see coming?
Sure. I mean, there's always that team. Look, I don't really know what to make of these ESPN bet props that suddenly go crazy and why all of a sudden the odds on J.J. McCarthy getting drafted by the Chargers went insane. That seems ludicrous, and Shefty completely shut it down on Get Up yesterday. But that's the kind of thing that could happen. Someone taking a quarterback that you absolutely don't see coming. Someone trading from way back. Certainly the Raiders would qualify back to the sliver of a chance conversation that we had. If the Raiders found a way to trade up to get Jaden Daniels, that certainly would qualify as blowing up the draft. So those would be the ones that jump to mind. Which of these teams that are quarterback needy, that are picking below the Giants, so Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, which of them is able to make that huge move up to get the quarterback that they want? I don't know if that's blowing up the draft, but I think it's the biggest, it'll be the biggest conversation point tomorrow morning.
Greeny, one of the big storylines that I'm going to be paying attention to in this draft is defensive players. With all the quarterback talk, all the offensive tackle talk, and even wide receivers, defensive players, there's some really good guys that are going to drop down the board early on, you know, potentially out of the top 10. Who do you think is the guy that's going to be called first defensively in this draft, and who takes him?
I think the first defensive player off the board will be Dallas Turner, who's a pass rusher from Alabama, because he's safer than Leiatu Latu, who is, I think, in almost every analyst I've spoken to says they think Latu, who is from UCLA, is the best defensive player in the draft. But this is a kid, for those who don't know the story, who had to retire. During his college career, he medically retired and was not cleared by doctors at Washington. He wound up transferring to UCLA, where he was cleared, and then set the Pac-12 on fire the last 2 years. And is the best pass rusher, the best defensive player, I think, overall in this class. But there's so much concern about the medical. He and Michael Penix really are those two guys. If there were no injury history, I think Latu would be almost a certainty to be the first defensive player taken. And I think Penix would be right in the mix with the top two or three quarterbacks. But the medicals are the concern. The other defensive players in this draft to watch early tonight, there's two corners that everybody likes. Terrion Arnold from Alabama and Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo are both excellent corners. Nate Wiggins will go a little bit later, but good corners in this draft. And then the pass rushers. When does a guy like Chop Robinson from Penn State, when does he go? Byron Murphy, is it the best defensive tackle? I'm starting to hear whispers of him climbing up boards. Maybe we see him in the top 15 picks out of Texas. So those are the handful of defensive players that we'll hear, and they're terrific players to be sure. But this is about this, I think, has a chance to be the most offense-heavy draft in the history of the NFL draft. 19 or 20 offensive players, I think, will go tonight.
Greeny, when you're on the coverage tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, the Jets will pick at right now at pick 10. The player that you will hope the camera is not on you so you can celebrate when they pick is which player?
Well, the player that in my wildest dreams they take is Joe Ault, who's the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. And I think there is a scenario where he slides down as far as 7 or 8. And if that happens, then I would love to see the Jets go get him. If that's not possible, if let's say the Chargers take him, then I would like to see the Jets trade back. I think the Jets need to get offensive linemen, offensive line depth. I know everyone is forecasting Brock Bowers. I've seen some people forecasting Rome Odunze. If he drops there, the wide receiver for Washington, those guys are great players. But the number 1, 2, and 3 priorities of the Jets this year have to be keeping Aaron Rodgers healthy, keeping him upright, keeping him protected. And the offensive line additions they've made this offseason, while exactly the right things to do, are fraught with peril. These are older players who have an injury history. So I would like to see them get offensive linemen. So names like Troy Fatanu from Washington and Talisi Fuaga from Oregon State and Olu Fashanu from Penn State and Graham Barton from Duke and any of these other interior tackles, I don't care what offensive line position they play. The Jets need depth at all of them. So that's what I'm hoping they'll do. It's not what I think they'll do. Everyone that I talk to says they want to take a pass catcher. So I think they will take Bowers if he's there. Unless Odunze is there, I think they'll take him. And look, I can't say I think that's terrible because those are terrific players. But it doesn't make any difference how good your receivers are if your quarterback is lying flat on his back.
Greeny, great job as always. We look forward to watching you tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN for the draft. Thank you so much, Greeny.
All right, fellas. Thanks for doing this. I'll see you later.
All right, there he is, Greeny, here on Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. 4 quarterbacks selected, first 4 picks. It could happen. Find out tonight, 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, presented by ESPN Bet. First-round coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Most ESPN radio stations, SiriusXM, Channel 80. Coming up, chalk or shock? That question will be answered next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
85 yards for Jaden Daniels. Wow!
Every time Jaden has the ball in his hands, you figure that they're going to score.
You look at all these quarterbacks, Jaden is the one to talk about.
Just so composed, so mature.
Be humble, be legendary, and most importantly, you know, be joyful about what you do.
Jaden Daniels, huge storyline tonight. Along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny. Oh, you're dancing. I like
it. Oh, yeah. You got to get down, man.
Can you listen to this song and not think Remember the Titans?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I do now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Now that's going to be stuck in my head. Thanks.
I love Remember the Titans.
Hey, man, I was just grooving.
Oh, we had a huge debate this morning on Unsportsman, like 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. I want you to weigh in on Cam Bubba as well. People think Draft Day is a horrible movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. Why?
I'm not a movie guy.
Have never seen it.
Oh, you're the only one here.
I was just told how bad it is.
Everyone just
said it.
It's
not bad. This is unbelievable. So we brought this up because Schefter tweeted the scene from Draft Day that he was mentioned in this morning, because obviously it is Draft Day, mm-hmm. and we're here at ESPN Bet in Detroit. And I brought it up. Smalls never seen it.
There you go.
Fortenbaugh's never seen it.
Are you the only one who's seen it?
Pat Costello,
see,
our producer, has seen it. It is a great movie. I can't imagine it's a great movie. It's great. It's one of these movies, Bubba, that you would watch if it comes on, you know, and you're sitting there at home on the weekend or whatever, and it comes on. And it's like, all right, I know I'm an hour in, but I'm going to still watch the rest of it. I have no problem watching it. It's great. I mean, it's
how do you do that? How do you go? How do you roll
so many times?
Well, see, that's a you bad thing.
No,
like,
it's not.
Like, I'm a Law and Order SVU guy. If you miss the first scene, you're out. You just you reset it the next hour.
Is that something that you can go back and watch now, Law & Order?
I watch it every weekend when I have an opportunity to watch something that's not sports.
But if I've never watched it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, it's
right
great.
There
it's
with
great.
You,
Finn is amazing. Shout out to Benson. Yeah, I'm in, man. I'm just waiting for them to call me and be like, hey, man, I need a guy just to come and talk really loud. I'm like, I'm your guy.
That's the role you want?
I don't care, yeah.
The talk really loud guy.
Whatever. I'm that guy.
Someone who doesn't understand the internet.
Easy.
Oh, yeah, let's go back to this for a second quickly here.
Okay.
And by the way, if from an equal time perspective, should we have Hembo on since we had Greeny on?
Yeah, let's do it.
No, I think we're good.
Where is Hembo?
I think he's at high heat
good?
Right now.
Did he get on?
I think he's trying.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, so Q is staying at an Airbnb.
Yes.
And there was a game that you guys were on game night the other night on at the time that you were on the air.
Right.
Because normally you and Emmett watch games, react to games, have tons of guests on from the biggest games. Tonight, when game night, well, again, that's probably not on after the draft, but in theory, if it was on after the draft, draftees are on. It's the best show for that.
Right, exactly. It's fantastic.
So you're staying somewhere else. You're at this Airbnb. And you're like, hey, just FYI, I can't watch the games we're talking about.
Right.
And Emmett says to you, well, why don't you just put them on the TV? And you can't figure out how to use a TV.
Well, the TV's downstairs in my defense. And I have an Airbnb that is a two-bedroom. One is my room that I sleep in when I have an opportunity to sleep. And the other room is what I call the lab, where I do all my work from, all my radio shows from. So there was no TV there. There's one TV downstairs, and it's not cable. It's just streaming.
And wait, you can't figure out how to use it?
I mean, I probably could have, but I wouldn't have been able to do the radio show at the same time. Because the setup wouldn't have allowed me to do it. Because if you're doing a radio show, you don't want to do a radio show in a room that's not carpeted. Because if it's not carpeted, it's going to echo. So I take these into considerations.
I like that you've been in this Airbnb for, what, a couple days, and you're already naming the rooms? This one's the lab.
Yeah. Yeah, I got there a Sunday. I had plenty of time to, me time and feel out the house, the room, and it allowed me to do my first, DoorDash as well.
I like it. You're making yourself home.
So you never did an app delivery?
No.
Any of the deliveries?
But Emmett told me to do it, so I did, and Chinese food arrived at my house at 1 a.m., which was weird because it was actually open.
So you just use the app delivery at 1 a.m. in Detroit for Chinese food for the first time in your life?
First time. And the only reason I got Chinese food is because it was the first thing that popped up. And I was like, yeah, that looks good. I'll see how it works. And it worked.
Such a
simple
guy.
Welcome to the 21st century.
I mean, serious. Are you 100?
If I am, I'm a good-looking 100. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. I'm okay with that. I'll be that. Right? It's a blessing to get old. I'll take it.
Just to wrap up this part of the conversation, I want to be clear. So theoretically, if you and I were together at this Airbnb tonight,
yeah,
and I said, Q, can you pop on the draft on the television side, not the radio side, would you be capable of figuring out how to do that?
No, I wouldn't get it on. I wouldn't get it on because even when you go and turn it on, and I've turned it on once, and you go to ESPN, like, you know,
the app?
I Am Water. Yeah, I Am Water pops up, or, you know, like some 30 for 30, which are fantastic, but it's not what I'm actually trying to watch.
So you couldn't figure out how to stream the draft live on the ESPN app?
No.
Watch ESPN.
Not on the TV at the hotel or at the Airbnb, but probably on my phone.
Is this for, are you being serious
I'm,
right
I'm
now?
I'm dead serious, yes. What's, I mean, it's, I just, I don't have to. I'm normally just watching TVs and I'm, you know, I'm good. Like, I don't need to stream. You know, I haven't cut any kind of cord. I'm good. The cords are my friends.
Anyway, this morning on Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Chris Canty came in and had an interesting comment about the number two pick in the draft tonight.
I was told by somebody that's in the know that they wouldn't be surprised if we have double-digit trades in the first round tonight.
Double-digit?
Double-digit trades.
Starting around what pick would we say?
I would probably say start looking at that number three overall pick.
Ooh.
But I wouldn't even rule out the number two overall pick.
Ooh, double digits? Double digits, that's a lot of trades. And, you know, I would love to see it. I'm here for the chaos, but that is a lot. But I'll tell you what, he perks my ears up. When it comes to number three or number two, and, you know, again, I'm in Las Vegas locally, cover the Raiders like a glove, and I know their desire is to get to number two and go get Jaden Daniels, and I think that's where they need to get to go get him is number two. I believe Washington will probably select him. But, I mean, man, if there's a trade that could be had, let that one be the one that could be had because, again, with the relationship that Antonio Pierce has with Jaden Daniels, I know that he would love to have him in the building and have him as his alpha dog, difference-making quarterback that the Raiders have so long desired to have. They don't have that guy. They have good quarterbacks, but I think that they want that difference-maker. It's just going to cost a lot to go get him. But I'm like this, Evan. I think if it doesn't really matter what it costs, right? As long as it's draft capital, give it.
Okay,
I
mean, wait.
What if the Raiders don't?
You did an add-on there. You did an add-on. You said it doesn't matter what it costs as long as it's draft capital.
Right.
Okay. So would you trade Davante Adams as part of the deal?
No, he's off limits. So
there's no deal. There's no deal to be had
with you.
Well, right. But I mean, why? So you're going to give the next. So let's play this out for number two. Let's say Canty's what he's hearing is correct there, and I'm not saying it's incorrect. I'm just playing out that thing. This year's one. Next year's one. And the year after that,
for sure. Done.
Right. Easy for you. Why would Washington do that?
I mean, they would want more than that.
Okay. So how are they going to get more? You want draft capital.
Yeah.
How is your Raiders team in this scenario going to get more draft capital? It's trading current players for draft capital. You're saying Max Crosby, 98, that's who you're referring to, is not going to get traded.
Right.
So a 31-year-old wide receiver that it doesn't matter how good he is if your quarterback is not great, but your quarterback is fine if Gardner Minshew is there, and I happen to like Gardner Minshew.
Right, I do too.
Doesn't really matter. It doesn't, like, you don't pay the wide receiver to make the quarterback good. You do it the other way.
Right.
So if I get a great quarterback and I have a guy in Jaden Daniels that Antonio Pierce is just sold can make this team great, I'm good with Jacoby Myers as my one at that spot if that's what it takes Davante Adams to get me to that number two slot.
Well, I think that that's, I mean, I understand that logic on it. And part of the reason I say that he's off limit is the $35 million cap hit that it would take also to pay him or, you know, to trade him. So I think that is a part of it that's not very attractive for the Raiders. Even though I saw the Bills do it with Stephon Diggs,
I'm thinking about it a little differently.
Okay.
I'm thinking about what a team like the Jets, who would have to make some maneuvers, or even the Bears at nine, work on a package for Devontae. And now you're looking at let's say for whatever reason the Bears and the Raiders work out a deal that Davante Adams ends up as part of the Bears, just for argument's sake.
Right, gotcha.
So now you got 13-9, next year's one, and the year after that. So it's 4-1s. Now Washington may start to listen.
That's true.
Because now Washington may look at it and say, fine, we'll move back. 9 and 13 is an interesting slot to be in because McCarthy could still be there, or they could use those picks to potentially move back up to even get into the Drake May / McCarthy conversation. That's a lot of maneuvering, which is why
it
I just don't think that this is going to happen.
Yeah, it seems like that a lot of that would already be in motion, right, and not just on today. And we know that all the teams have talked to each other, and they kind of already know what it's going to take to do whatever they'd like to do. But I feel like if that scenario scenario that you just rolled out,
yeah.
I feel like some of that would have already happened. Like Minnesota, for example, who already has the 2-1s. That already happened. So you know going in tonight they have that ammunition. That's the reason why I don't think that a player will be involved with this trade if the Raiders were able to find a trade partner. But, I mean, it would be an interesting scenario, and it would definitely be something they'd have to think about. I mean, I wouldn't just close my ears to listening to it. I just think that the Raiders, just knowing the Raiders like I do, I think that they want everything to, you know, to keep Devontae and obviously Max and just give up as much draft capital as possible, whatever it needs to be. But, you know, again, do Washington want to – are they comfortable moving back to 13? The one area of this that is interesting – is that on their speed dating when they went to Topgolf?
Yeah.
Is that Michael Penix was part of that, right? And so are they comfortable with him?
The Commanders, you're saying? Not at 2?
Well, no, of course. But if they were to trade back to 13, because he'll probably be there at 13.
Or I guess the counter to that is he just clearly the most grown up of the crew, and they want to bring him in there to see who can hang with him.
Right.
They may not want to pick him, but he's the oldest, most experienced, seemingly very mature, right?
Yeah.
The most amount of first-round picks I think you can give up, if I'm not mistaken, is 5 years out. Is that correct?
It's 3 years out.
3 years out?
3 years out, but if you have multiple picks, then it's, you know. And I think after this draft, then it goes to, what, maybe 5 years out like you were talking about. But this year, I believe, is still 3 years out.
So let's just be ridiculous here and stupid with all of this, but who cares?
Right.
Let's say the Raiders said to the Commanders, 21 picks over the next 3 years. All of our picks. All 21.
That's too much. That's way too much. That's way too much.
Oh, I would do that in a second if I'm convinced.
21 picks?
I don't care.
No way.
If I'm convinced,
somebody on your team.
Hold on a second.
Up?
If I am convinced that Jaden Daniels is the guy, or any quarterback, I don't care how many draft picks I give up.
I mean, look what
I give up 100 for Patrick Mahomes.
When's the last time a coach gave up every pick in their draft for one player and see how that worked out?
That was a running back.
I know it was a running back,
and
but
you're talking about Ricky Williams.
I understand, but it just was. You got to have some draft picks. You can't give up everything.
You can get draft picks back easily by trading active players. My point is, if we ever find out that the Raiders could have had Jaden Daniels, and they hesitated, to me that's unacceptable. If you believe that Jaden Daniels is can't miss, and Antonio Pierce believes that if you put him with me, it's can't miss, there's no amount of draft capital that I wouldn't give up to go get him then.
I would have no problem giving up a lot. I mean, I would have no problem giving up a lot. You know, you got 3 1s, that's fine. And really, it's only 2 1s because it's a pick swap this year. So you got 3 1s, a couple 2s, a couple 3s. I mean, that's fine. That's a lot. That's a lot of draft capital right there. You've got to have something. You're not giving up no 21 picks for one player. And that player better walk in and move Allegiant Stadium to wherever he wants, right? He better take Allegiant Stadium on the road with him.
Yeah, but you're looking at it as that way. I look at it as if it works, right? Is C.J. Stroud not worth someone's next 3 drafts in its entirety?
I mean, no, not in its entirety. I don't think
what?
So. That's how do you build a team? I know you can do free agency. I know you can trade and get some picks back, like you mentioned. But that's doing a lot of gymnastics, man. I'm not a gymnast. I'm not.
You think I am?
I mean, well, maybe.
No, definitely not.
I mean, you're working some gymnastics right now.
I'm just saying that I believe in that when you find your quarterback, it changes everything.
The
Houston Texans are no longer a laughing stock.
But we're also talking about quarterbacks. Like you said, you'd give up everything for Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes has won 3 Super Bowls, so you know what he is right now.
Okay, but after 1 year. So, like, play. This is not for actually happening. It's more for the thought exercise here.
Okay.
So you're with the Raiders right now, and the Raiders are offered by the Texans for whatever dopey, stupid reason. We want your next 3 drafts, and we'll give you C.J. Stroud. That as great as Stroud was, we actually like this guy, that guy, and that guy better, whatever it may be. You're saying you'd say no if you're the Raiders?
I would. So I'm not giving
Oh, my God.
I'm not giving up 20. Well, hey, look, I'm not even streaming, so there's that. But, I mean, look, 21 picks. 21 picks is too much, man. 21, nah. I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
Bubba Cam, am I nuts the way
yes,
in which I'm
nuts.
Phrasing this?
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Thank you.
21 picks? What are you on? What is happening right
21
now?
21 picks.
He's on something that you can find in the streets.
What are you talking about?
That's been
you know what I'm talking
Texans
about.
Did, you know what the Texans did right after they drafted C.J. Stroud? They drafted Will
drafted
Anderson.
Will Anderson.
So
yeah, by giving
you
up
need
the
other
next
players
year's
around
I understand
you.
That.
I have no idea what you're talking about. 21 picks is nonsense.
Thank you. I think
21 picks.
Thank you. Tell him to come to the front of the congregation, man, because he's got to tell his story,
Let's
man.
Go
you know
break
what I mean?
In 21 seconds.
Yeah, There you go. That a boy.
I don't care. I would give up any amount of picks for a quarterback that I knew was a franchise quarterback. I would. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But that's my point with the Raiders here. If they have an ability to go up and get Jaden Daniels, if it's ever found out, Q, that it's on them, that makes them look bad in my mind. Yeah, I don't think it is. I think it's on Washington. I think it's on Washington. All right, we have Cam trivia today with no Hembo here. Cam, what is the trivia? We will answer it coming up here on Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
Yeah, I'm sucking up to Evan a little bit here, but Eric Spoelstra now has three playoff wins as a 10-point underdog, tied with what coach for the most over the last 30 postseasons. So who is the only other coach in the last 30 postseasons with three playoff wins as a 10-point underdog?
Should I admit now that I know the answer or not? I'll say I don't know the answer, and I'll guess it next. It is Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny. Today we are live at ESPN Bet in Detroit. Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. All right, we got sneaky Cam trivia with Hembo out today. Cam, go ahead.
Eric Spoelstra now has three playoff wins as a 10-point underdog, tied with what coach for the most over the last 30 postseasons? Evan has claimed he knows the answer, so he's going to go last. Q, you got an answer?
I mean, I have no clue, but I'm just going to go with someone that's, you know, frequently in the playoffs, a coach that's been around the game for quite a while, and a guy that I think is really underrated as a heck of a coach. I'm going to go with Rick Carlisle. How about that?
Ooh.
Okay.
Rick Carlisle.
I just got the look at me.
I'm trying not to lead him in any direction.
Yeah, how's your poker
face?
I got the look from Evan. Like, you know, like when my mom would ask me a question and she knew the answer and then I gave her the answer and she looked at me and I was like, was that the right answer? Was that the wrong answer? I guess I'll find out in a minute.
Okay.
All right, Bubba's answer.
Yeah, I'm gonna go I guess a similar vein, someone who's been around for a long time, not always the best teams. Connecticut native, New Britain, Tom Thibodeau.
All right, we got Tibbs and Carlisle, and Evan, the alleged correct answer is?
It is Glenn Doc
No way.
Rivers.
Doc Rivers
no way.
Is correct. Doc Rivers won game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals last year against the Celtics. Remember, Joel Embiid was out. James Harden, 40-plus point game. And then two games in the Western Conference first round against the Warriors in 2019 when he was with the Clippers. That is three.
Wow. Yeah, in that series against the Warriors when he was with the Clippers, they lost.
They did blow.
Well, the question was not about winning a series.
I know. That's why I didn't even think about
him. Just that Miami was a huge underdog last night without Jimmy Butler and without Terry Rozier in the lineup for Miami, and they won 111-101, set a franchise record for three-pointers in a playoff game with 23. This is a franchise that has won three titles since 2006. That was a phenomenal win last night. Tyler Hero was awesome, 24 points, 14 assists, 5 boards, and they had five players, Miami did, with three three-pointers made or more. Tatum and Brown, individually, statistically, had good games in terms of the numbers of points. Jaylen Brown with 33, Jason Tatum with 28. But Miami last night did something that most people did not think could be done. Winning against Boston, there's I guess three or four parts of this. A lot of people thought Boston would go undefeated throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Right.
Well, that's out.
Yep.
People thought Boston would not lose at home. That's out.
That's out.
And people thought Boston, if they lost, would lose close by a point or two. Miami won by 10.
And not to those guys. Without Jimmy Butler.
No.
That's the thing. So you can add another element. You know, if Boston's going to lose, they weren't going to lose to Miami without Jimmy Butler. But, you know, as you know, as a Heat fan, you know, the Heat culture is real. They're not going to just roll over because they don't have their alpha dog. And I do respect them for that. Is that sustainable? Probably not, right? I mean, I think that's a hiccup for the Boston Celtics. But it's not ideal, right? I mean, you want to go through and have as little amount of games as possible on your way to the finals. So why play with your food? And I'm not saying that they played around with Miami. Miami went and took it to them. But, I mean, you've got to, if you're Boston, man, you've got to, you've got to tighten up the bootstraps and just make it happen. You know, go get those wins, especially at home. right? I mean, that's the beauty of being at home. Like, everything has to go through Boston. There's no reason to put any doubt in your fan base or even any of your players' minds. Like, wait, hold on. This isn't going to happen again, is it?
You just nailed something, in my opinion, that not enough people talk about with these kinds of series. Even if you're someone that thinks that Boston is going to win now in five, one more game of wear and tear.
Yep.
And against a team like Miami, that is the last kind of team you'd want to play in the first round. Because even, by the way, Q, if you win in four, they are going to fight you for 48 minutes.
Yep. Nothing's going to be easy. Nothing is going to be easy. They're going to make you grind it out, and that is wear and tear on your body. And as we look around the playoffs in general, right, it's about health. Who's healthy and who can stay healthy? And so you don't want anything to happen. You don't want to have to tax your players more and put more minutes on their bodies than they need. So what you need to do is handle your business when you can. And when you have a wounded animal like the Miami Heat are, you're supposed to take care of your business. They didn't. And so Miami, they feel great about themselves. And they're going to, like you said, they're going to give it to you. Every single game, they're going to make you earn it.
Tell you, the entire narrative around the Boston Celtics will change if somehow Miami wins game three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Because even if Boston wins in six at that point,
buddy.
To have a lead against this team.
Right. Yes, exactly. No, if you have a lead against the Boston Celtics, who everyone is basically fast-tracked to the Eastern Conference Finals, if you have that without Jimmy Buckets, I mean, that cannot be said enough. If you do that without him, then all of a sudden you're starting to get – then there's doubt. Brother Doubt is starting to walk into your locker room.
No doubt.
Right? And when Brother Doubt sits next to you, you're in trouble.
Why are you looking at me? I'm not Brother Doubt in this case. Don't look at me on that. All right, it is draft day, obviously, today. ESPN Radio has all of the coverage this evening. We are live at ESPN Bet in Detroit. Q, I'll throw something out at you here. Give me the one player or team that you think could just blow up the draft tonight.
Oh, man, that's a great question. I mean, I selfishly want to say the Raiders because I think that they have a potential move in them, but I'm gonna get away from that. I'm gonna leave that alone. I think the team that could blow things up, maybe the Giants could make a move and go get a quarterback that maybe they make a move to three and go get Drake May,
and then all three
sudden, yeah, they're at six right now.
So they can move up three spots. They're sold on Drake May. He's the guy that they want. They move up those three spots. You probably have to give up next year's number one. Mm-hmm. If you're New England, you're then thinking, okay, well, we're going to get J.J. McCarthy at six potentially, and we're going to short the Giants thinking they're going to be bad next year.
Right.
And that potentially maybe you have another top five, top ten pick next year that's not your own, i.e. like the Bears here.
Yep.
That's an interesting one. All right, you know what? We're going to dive deeper into that. Obviously, all of the draft conversations coming up. Q mentions the Giants blowing it up, or are they bluffing? Because a lot of people think the Giants are just going to sit right where they are at number six, not make a move. Where does J.J. McCarthy go? We'll talk about that all coming up. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.